Hello, I'm Jen Hogan, and welcome to the season 3 finale of Aldi's Mamia and Me podcast. I've had some incredible conversations over the past year with parents in different parts of their journey, from expecting parents to brand new parents to parenting veterans. I learned so much from our surprising, enlightening, and heartwarming conversations, and it was a real privilege to chat with all of them. It has also been a great privilege to have you, our loyal listeners, along for the journey, and I thank you for all the lovely messages, questions, and feedback we've received. Sadly, there is no fourth season currently planned, so this episode is a warm goodbye from me and all the team behind Mamia and Me. To wrap up the series, we'll take a look back at some of the best moments from the last year. But don't forget, you can go back and listen to any of our previous guests from all three seasons whenever you like. Louise Cooney was a fitting first guest for this season. She has had a beautiful baby boy now, but when I chatted to her last year, she was expecting her first child and was excited to share her hopes and expectations of becoming a mum.
I can't picture what life will be like. I try, but I don't think I'm going to get the image right in my head until it happens, you know? Yeah. And like, me and Mark talk about it, and we're both so excited, and we're both aware that it's going to be hard, and I think we're just going to have to take it as it comes. And I know it will be more amazing than it will be hard, and people give me a lot of reassurance mm-hmm. in that, but I just don't know. It's like, how can you even imagine? You know, I'm the first one in my family to have kids, mm-hmm. bar my parents, obviously. So like, same with Mark, first grandchild on both sides. Yeah. So it's not something that's really very familiar to either of us right now. So it's really exciting.
You were saying there like that you share a lot online, and you mentioned when you did your pregnancy announcement online, which was gorgeous. I watched that. It was really lovely. Mm. But what stage did you decide to share?
So we started telling people when I was about 8 weeks, after we had an early scan. And then we said, OK, it's time to let our parents in on what's coming down the tracks, you know. And then we kind of told our other, you know, brothers and sisters as we saw them. And it's so nice. It's such a nice part, because the first trimester is really hard.
Yeah.
You're very, especially when it's your first time, you're very alone. Your life has changed. You know, you're really tired. You're going through all these symptoms and you can't tell anyone. Mm. So it was really nice. It was a really nice part of the first trimester to let people in and share the excitement. So we started at about 8 weeks, and then I shared the news online. I was 16 weeks then.
Right.
So it was about 4 months. I just felt right at that point. You know, I told kind of my close friends, and like, it's exciting. You want to share the news. You know, I was looking forward to sharing that journey with people as well.
Deciding when to tell family and friends you're expecting is a very personal decision for every parent. But it was really interesting to hear Louise talk about when she decided to share the news with her followers. As a public figure whose brand is all about her life and experiences, Louise and I discussed the impact becoming a parent would have on what she decided to share and what she might keep for her and her family. I had a very open conversation with rugby legend Keith Earls as he talked about overcoming his struggles with mental health and the challenges and joys of fatherhood.
When you're a boy or a man, a teenage boy or a young man, either, even going through this and trying to deal with different mental health challenges, it can be really hard to know where to turn. And I think as a parent of sons, watching my sons grow up and looking at the different challenges that face boys as well as girls, obviously, in the world, I often wonder, how do you as a parent like kind of approach that sort of thing with your boys? Like, how do you have those conversations? Is it the sort of thing, I mean, from your own experience, was it that you had to be ready to talk to somebody about it? Would there have been questions that might have helped to prompt you to feel that you could talk about any difficulties that you're experiencing?
No, I suppose that's saying, you know, it's when you hit rock bottom, you kind of know. And that's what happened to me. I think I was maybe 22, 23 at the time. But like, so I held on to all stuff from, it's not, you know, I held on to, you know, people passing away. My family had young people passing away. There was suicide in the family. And then with the whole stuff in my Ross as well. And, you know, never ever spoke about it. And, you know, I just got into a certain way of thinking, certain negative way of thinking, you know, thinking the whole world was against you. And when you're thinking like that for years, it has to give way at some stage. And I remember I was a professional rugby player and I went and I spoke to our doctor, Aina Falvey, in Carton House one time. And I was like, look, I need to, I don't feel well. I don't want to be here. I said, I'm representing my country. I just don't feel well. I don't know what's going on with me. And I went and, you know, he organised and I went and spoke to someone. And, you know, and that helped, you know, and that's the hardest. It's the hardest thing to do is to go and ask for help. But it's, in a way, it's the most easiest thing to do. And it's the best thing to do as well.
I so appreciated Keith's honesty in this episode. Parenting intersects with all different facets of life. Here, we got to talk about the importance of making spaces for men and boys to be candid about their mental health and how powerful an example it is for parents to demonstrate to their kids that it's okay to ask for help, no matter your age. A particular highlight for me was our Christmas special, where I not only got to chat to Mario Rosenstock and laugh along at his incredible impressions, but we also had none other than Dustin the Turkey in the studio.
Have you been in RTE then? Forget about working. Have you been in RTE?
What's I have. I love going in sometimes. I do those sort of places, Jen. I love going to places.
And you're still welcome.
Well, you said, when you say the word welcome, the big poster that says do not let in, and it's a picture of me on it, yeah. No, I sort of still, I love going to places like that, like Glasnevin Cemetery, the Dead Animal Museum, places that have no life in them. Right. You know, like so.
And come here, how's the young turkeys?
We're a bit wary, but like, have me new political party now. I have the poultry before people party. I've ditched Fianna Fáil. It just wasn't working. Well, we weren't. You're not allowed to do the brown envelopes or anything anymore. So we had to get real, Jen. So I've got the Feathered Friend Alliance as well. So we're I'm getting all my brothers and sisters and all my turkeys, and I'm going to be selling them to Aldi. I'm going to be supporting. And making sure that they're free and spreading the vegan word, making sure that, you know, the people know that there's alternatives to turkey for the
That's
tradition.
That's true, actually.
Go vegan this Christmas,
Yeah, well, go vegan, that's what I'm saying. I'm actually pushing the seagull as the new Christmas dinner because, I mean, who's ever met a nice seagull? You know, Jen, yourself, and you're sitting out in Dollymount Strand and you're having your bag of chips and he swoops in and grabs you.
Turkeys never do that.
They don't.
No turkey has ever robbed my chips.
Yeah.
So can you cook a seagull, like, I mean?
Oh, you can, yeah. Well, microwave, air fryers. That's why God invented air fryers.
Air fryers.
The jewel drawers, you stick two seagulls in, they're done in 15 minutes. Cut the feed off.
So come here, what are the kids looking for Christmas?
Well, basically, there's a bit of, see, it's, of course, it's all phones now and stuff like that. Yeah. But I've heard a lot of them are looking for seagull dinners.
How many kids is there now that you have?
What? That's
how many kids?
As I always say, I'm happy collecting the child allowance, but not the responsibility.
Mario, Dustin and I had the crack recording this one. Dustin really kept Mario and me on our feet with his bird puns and his anti-seagull stance. It wasn't all studio interviews either. We were out on the road too, recording live at Electric Picnic. I had a great chat with Una Healy about her high-flying music career and the everyday realities of being a mum.
I kind of missed being pregnant.
Yeah.
Did you get that?
I loved being pregnant, you know, so much so. Both pregnancies, I was actually in the Saturdays performing, doing two massive tours. The timing wasn't probably great, but it was for me because I loved it because I love being pregnant. I was like, I can do everything while I'm pregnant. I can even go on tour with the girls. And I did. Like, I was literally costume changes out on stage for 4 or 5 months pregnant and 6 months pregnant. Yeah. Four or five, 6 months.
Like, that must have been, like, because, you know, you're tired and you're.
Yeah. See, I didn't. I was in the second trimester. Okay. So I was actually had that burst of energy. Yeah. And I was like, so all the rehearsals and my, you know, obstetrician told me that because I was very fit and healthy leading up to it. He just said, like, maintain your fitness, but, you know, keep it moderate. Don't let your heart rate get up too high, you know. I was just very lucky that both pregnancies went really well. I felt like I was really, people say that to you, don't think, oh, you're glowing, you look so healthy, and my hair started to grow more. And then when they come out, then it's like you feel like you lose part of yourself because you're used to having them all to yourself, and then they're out and you're just a bit of a shell, you know, you kind of.
And all that fuss is all about you, isn't it, when you're pregnant? You're like, everybody wants to know you when you're pregnant.
Oh, yeah, and you're pregnant. So cute. Yeah. And then it's like, they're like, they don't even look at you. They're like, let me see the baby. Yeah. So I'm very conscious when I go and visit my friends or anyone that's had a baby to bring the mother a gift too, because she's just had the baby, been through all of that. And yeah, they forget that the mother has obviously been hosting this baby inside and, you know, obviously done such a good job and they come out, you know, so it's nice to acknowledge that as well.
And how soon did you go back to work so then after you had your daughter?
Because I was so active while in the group, I remember, and I knew this, I consciously went back. It wasn't forced now. It wasn't a thing where I was, you know, I could, if I'd turned around to my management and said, I don't want to, they would have been, that's your decision, you know, but I wanted to. And I'm really, really blessed with an amazing family, with my parents. My mother, she came and helped me. So she basically was there with me all the time. And after 5 weeks of having Aoife, I was back out promoting a single with the girls, flat out.
Una and I shared a lot in common about our parenting experiences, and she had such relatable stories. Successful recording career and world tours aside, I loved hearing about how Una minds the new mums in her life. Sex educator Jenny Keane was on the podcast too, another mum expecting her first child, to talk about sex and pleasure during and beyond pregnancy.
If you just think back to your sex education,
yeah,
and you were probably told, like, it was, again, it's fear-based, so you're told, like, if you have sex, you're going to get pregnant.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So we go into our adult life thinking that it's going to be really easy to get pregnant, right? And obviously we know now, with the huge kind of focus and visibility on conception and the difficulties and struggles people are having, the fact that people are more open talking about it, we know that that's not always the case, right? So I think sometimes there's this element of, like, feeling broken as well that comes with, you know, especially if you're trying for a long time. And it's just to say that, like, look at the sex education. You were told, like, you were literally lied to when you were a kid to say, oh, it's really simple. The first time you use sex, you're going to get pregnant, right? Which is not the case for everybody. So the second thing with regards to sex becoming a chore. So I always talk about the idea of the productivity mindset versus the pleasure mindset, right? And the productivity mindset, this exists in all parts of our society. It's how we grow up. And really, culture promotes the productivity mindset because it says to us that we're only valuable when we're producing something. So we think about work, right?
Yeah.
And then we have this kind of achievement addiction on top of that. So we have to go to the next step on the ladder, the next step on the ladder. We have to continually be producing in order to be valuable. And this mindset leaks into our sex lives as well, right? So where we're only valuable when we're producing an orgasm, for example, right? So think of the amount of people who fake having an orgasm because they don't want to feel like they're less than or that there's something wrong with them. Or the amount of pressure that's put on having an orgasm in a sexual encounter, right? Because if you're not producing an orgasm, it means there's something wrong with you or you're not quite good enough, right? Or there's, yeah, you're not quite good enough. The other thing of that, the other part of sex in that is also producing a baby, right? So again, if that's not happening for us right away, if we're struggling with this, if we're needing to have extra support and help, then again, it's this idea that you're not valuable. You're not, there's this like a feeling again of not being good enough.
Jenny highlighted how outdated sex education can really do a disservice to partners who are looking to get pregnant. This episode was just another example of how, through the lens of parenting, we were able to explore a whole host of other important issues. And not to forget my trip to Kerry to sit down in the most famous kitchen in Ireland and chat to Tadhg and Derry Fleming just a few weeks after the arrival of Tadhg's baby girl.
And I now realise, like, how fast that they grow up. Like,
it does go so fast.
And it goes, like, I still feel, like, 30 inside, like, do you know what I mean? Sometimes the body, the mind's willing, but the body is not able, as they say. Like,
as you can see by the TikTok videos, he struggles.
All I'm thinking of is flamingos.
He struggles big time.
Struggling,
But like that, you know, and it's like, you know, life goes by so fast. But what's important, I think, like, is, you know, never stop having fun. You grow old and, like, all of a sudden I laugh, you know, have fun. And when you're having fun, like, you're not growing old. That's the way I look at it. Like, you're not too old to laugh. Like,
just thinking what Ray is going to make of Grandad as she grows up and sees Grandad and how much fun Grandad has. Because you are you're just always so caught in the middle of all the videos and just part of the crying and, like, amusing all of us as well. But that just... that even for the videos you already have for her to look at and see, like, that's, she's going to help keep you young, isn't she?
He's laughing now.
He's there for the panic.
Why doesn't Grandad wear any pants?
Why was he wearing Nana's dress? Yeah. You know, there are times I question myself. Like, you know,
You wear it so well, Derry.
Yeah. Elegant.
Yeah. I could be stuck in the middle of doing cutting briars or bushes. This guy could come along, like, you know what I mean? Like, he would, his mother's dressed or something, like, yeah. We must do this, like, and you know, just to get rid of him, get more to be, all right, so come on quick. And then I'm stuck in the middle and doing it. What? Oh, God's earth.
Neighbours going down the road, like, there he's in the dress again.
It's so funny, you know, I still forget, like, I mean, that there's people outside, like, yeah, that see all this. Do you know, while I'm doing it here, I'm just having a crack, like, and a bit of fun, like, you know, and even if there was traffic passing up and down the road,
he was hiding behind the bush.
Like, and then, like, all of a sudden, sure, everyone has seen this, but you know, it's still in my mind. I think it's just here, like, you know what I mean, with ourselves.
Little bubble here, but that was one video we were doing. Like, you could see there was a car coming, and he jumped in behind the bush. I was like, Dad, what are you doing? People are going to see, a couple of 100,000 people are going to see this online. He's like, oh, yeah.
I loved hearing about how Derry keeps himself young, and I think we probably correctly anticipated some of the questions his new granddaughter might have. What a lovely and fun family she's joining, and what a treat she'll have watching those videos when she grows up. And that's not to forget about all the other fantastic guests: Jackie Hurley, Terry McAvoy, Jolene Cox, Connor Pope, Jarlath Regan, Kaz Mooney and Louise Duffy. As you've just heard, each episode of this season was so different. We had loads of deep, insightful conversations, and even as a seasoned parent of seven, I learned something new from each of my guests. We had lots of laughs too, truly capturing the ups and downs of the adventure that is parenting. I'm so proud of this series. It's kind of a parenting time capsule that you can go and revisit whenever you need some advice on kid-friendly meals, relatably embarrassing parenting stories, and honest conversations about topics like surrogacy, sex, and balancing the pressures of being a parent and having a career. I've so enjoyed hosting Mammy and Me, and I hope you've enjoyed listening. I also want to give a special shout out to my fellow Mamia and Me host, Amy Huberman, who has facilitated some wonderful chats with loads of great guests. You should go back and listen to those too. And finally, I want to thank Aldi for the great work they do supporting parents and families. I'll be continuing on as Aldi's parenting expert and brand ambassador, and you can always find me on the TV, radio and in my column in the Irish Times discussing all things parenting. I've been Jen Hogan, and this has been Aldi's Mamia and Me.